One of the dangers of reading a gospel that's so familiar is you transpose words. So throwing in joy a little bit too early. Oh well. So this morning, the temperature outside, at least when I looked at my phone at the weather app, said 25 degrees. The predicted temperature for Christmas Day is like 60. The mystery, of course, of weather, right? And yet today we are presented in these readings with the mystery of that which we are about to celebrate. The prophecy of Micah that we heard in that first reading speaks of Bethlehem as being too small among the clans of Judah. This small, insignificant town compared to Jerusalem, the great city where the temple is to be the place where one whose origin from of old, from ancient times, is to come forth. That he is the one who will stand firm and shepherd God's people, and his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he shall be peace. From Bethlehem, this little town of David, the little town of Bethlehem is not just the title of a song, but really speaks to the reality of how insignificant Bethlehem was until the coming of the Savior. And this Savior, as we are reminded in the letter to the Hebrews, is one who is God, yet enfleshed in our very flesh. A body you prepared for me. Why? Because I come to do your will. This is what Christ reminds us, that he is here out of love for every one of us, but most especially out of love for his Father, willing to do the will of his Father. Because in and him, through him, he will establish something quite new. But before we get to Christmas, we are on the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we hear the familiar story of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth cries out, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled," recognizing that there's something very special going on here in Mary, her cousin, and John the Baptist, leaping for joy in her womb, pointing to the reality of that which is present, of he who is present in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today we get to meditate upon that sacred chamber, the womb of a mother, and not just any mother, but the Mother of God. And we get to wait with Mary this week for the birth of the Savior. All the world is busy putting up Christmas decorations, if they're not already up, baking cookies, all the different preparations that we do around our houses to get ready for Christmas Day. Listening to Christmas music, maybe. But John the Baptist, Elizabeth, Mary, and Zechariah, along with Joseph, even in the midst of their busy world, as Joseph and Mary are in the midst, timeline-wise, of traveling to Bethlehem to fulfill the census that Caesar has proclaimed, even in the midst of their busyness, are given the opportunity to ponder the mighty works of God at work in the womb of the Blessed Mother. Zechariah, yesterday's gospel, we are reminded when he hears the annunciation to him of the birth of John the Baptist, is silenced because he doubts. But that silence gives him an opportunity to step back and reflect, so his doubt is turned into a joyous exclamation of what God is doing. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Review the annunciation stories, both of them. Elizabeth immediately goes into seclusion after conceiving John for 5 months. The barren woman is filled with hope now, is filled with great joy because she's conceived. And in ancient Israelite times, if you did not conceive, that was scandalous. Her scandal has been removed. And what does she do? She goes and ponders this great gift, the precursor to the Savior. Mary ponders within her heart the great greeting and message of the angel Gabriel to her, and shares this great joy with her cousin Elizabeth as she prepares for the birthday of John the Baptist. Joseph does not say a recorded word in Scripture, but rather responds through his actions, as I'm sure he was reflecting on the message of the angel to him that he received in the dream, that he is to be the father, the foster father of God. And not just that, but given the great gift and responsibility of naming him Jesus. Each of them ultimately says yes, even though Zechariah did doubt at first. He and Elizabeth give their yes to God's word to them, his promise to them, by naming their son John, which is not at all within Israelite tradition, because nobody in their family had that name. Mary, of course, we know, gave her yes to God, and through her fulfilled the great promises of old. And because of her yes, the Christ child is within her very womb, and she gives him flesh. In the O Antiphons, which we pray at evening prayer, yesterday and today, speak about the root of Jesse, the key of David, which is fulfilled in and through Saint Joseph, for he was of the lineage of David. If he had not said yes, God's promise would have possibly been fulfilled some other way, we can speculate. And yet his yes was so important so that it could be fulfilled through him. And our yes to God is just as important, because it is through our yes that Christ comes into this world. Silence and contemplation are what is called for and, dare I say, required of us in these final days of the Advent season. Taking moments each day in the midst of our busy preparations to be like Mary and Joseph, to accept him into our hearts, our very bodies, through this Eucharist, and into our very lives. Like John the Baptist and Elizabeth, to point out the reality of what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. To make sure that through our yes and our actions, that we remind this world of the importance of Christ. The whole reason that we celebrate Christmas, Christmas. To make sure that we in our own lives do not let another Christmas pass us by without stopping to contemplate the great mystery, more mysterious than the weather, of what is happening in our very lives in the midst of this world. So make the time this week. In the midst of your busy preparations, schedule it. A time to quiet down and prepare, so that this Christmas you might be ready to truly receive the Savior of the world.